This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future. We are so excited for you to be with us today. We have a great special guest, and Ms. Tiff is going to get the honor of introducing her.
Yes, and sweet Jen over here is in for a surprise because she knows nothing about our sweet guest. So I am so excited. This person is honestly one of my favorite humans that I've never actually met in person. So over COVID, I discovered this sweet lady and I fell in love with her personality, her giftings. This is Michelle Diuz. She is out of Vacaville, California. She is this amazing prophet with this strong prophetic and pastoral gifting. She is with Mission Church. She is also going to speak about all these things way better than I can and tell you all the things that she is doing. She does lots of prophetic coaching and many other things, and even a class that I took, which was amazing. And I just can't say and sing enough of her praises because she's amazing. And everyone that meets her probably tells her this. So welcome, Michelle. Thank you for being our guest.
Yes.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Jen. I really appreciate you sharing just your family and your audience with me. I'm excited to be here today. And I don't know very much about Jen either. So this is going to be fun for the both of us.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! We're getting to know one another.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I love that.
That's good.
So, Michelle, you have some cool things coming up, and you obviously have been doing some amazing coaching for a very long time. What is really God doing right now in your life with that? What would you like to share with our audience? Because they really know nothing about you. So just...
thank you for that question and for that opportunity. I think what is God doing in my life right now, as far as the coaching that I do? So I do what's called calibration coaching, and it's really, that really came from an encounter I had with the Lord where he showed me that he was going to take the skills, the gifts, the talents, my experience in life, just kind of how he formed and created me to help bring, to be a calibration tool to people. And I find that whether I'm working with a lawyer, a teacher, you know, an influencer in media, or a housewife, or a stay-at-home dad, or whoever it is, no matter who they are, that they all need the same thing. They're all asking the same question. And oftentimes that question is, who am I really? Have I arrived at who I am? Like, is there more here? And really, you know, what is God's purpose and plan for my life? How do I get there? How do I know that I'm on the right track? And then we go on this journey together and we really kind of discover mindsets that are holding them back, personal belief systems that have created a world around them that they're just not happy with. You know, different things like that. But one of the unique thing of my coaching style is that I take prophetic words that people have given them, and not everybody has a prophetic word, and not everybody even believes today. I have discovered that not everybody believes in the prophetic or that God even speaks today, which is kind of mind blowing to me. That how can we say he's a good father and we worship him, and yet we have no relationship with him that is personal. And how do you have a relationship just based on, you know, the Bible? Like, I think it's possible because I do. I've had a relationship with him based on the word of God from the time I was a little girl. You know, I would read the scriptures and things would come alive and I would kind of imagine myself being on the boat or walking with Jesus, those kind of things. But as I got older, I needed more. I needed more proof. I needed to hear his voice. And he began to show up in my life in some really powerful, dark times. And it was hearing his voice and feeling his presence that really saved me. So I kind of, to come back to present day, you know, I take people through, you know, hearing God's voice for themselves, really understanding the strategies that he's releasing through those prophetic words, through the word of God. It's called prophetic processing. So it's kind of taking prophecy from someone else, which is an encouraging word. You know, you're talking to someone and they're like, oh man, I just got this picture. I just feel like God wants me to share this with you. Well, what do you do with this? What do you do with that? What do you do? And so the Lord's just given me a strategy and a wisdom to understand the strategies that he's giving people, or the, what he's saying, you know, to others. And it's, something that he told me years ago that I began to live by, which has really shaped the way I approach my life, situations, conversations. And that is this. He said, Michelle, prophecy, the prophetic, is an invitation to a deeper conversation with me. When I would go to the word, when I'd go to the Bible, I began to apply that concept that this is an invitation to a deeper conversation. Prophetic words over my life are an invitation. It isn't it. It isn't the only thing. What I see on that page is the invitation, and I'm responsible to have a conversation with him about this. And then he kind of morphed it into, as I was going through things or things would come up, it was like, you know, whether the situation was positive or not so positive, or really hard, you know, I'm in the middle of like suffering or something's really hard that I'm experiencing. And he said, could this too be an invitation to a deeper conversation? And I just began to recognize that there are so many moments throughout my day that are invitations. And it was when I realized he was always wanting to communicate that really started shifting things in my life. And I had access to his kindness, his goodness, his wisdom, his love, whatever it was I needed in that moment, through that invitation. And so that's also something I just kind of impart to people and teach people how to do is to answer that invitation.
Yeah. So do people ever come to you as clients that are like, I'm just not hearing from the Lord. I don't have a word, but I need to hear a word and I need to, you know, how does that look about, you know, if they're trying to become your client?
Yeah, absolutely. So that actually happens a lot, or people will say, hey, I have this prophetic word and I don't know what to do with it. And they send it to me and I'm like, this isn't really a prophetic word. But so I've developed a team of people that I've trained, that I trust, and I will send them my client's first name and last initial. So they don't know the person. I don't send them any information other than, hey, here's a new client. Here's their first name is Tiffany. Last name is B. And they will pray and ask the Lord, you know, for an encouraging word for them. Sometimes I will give them clarity and I say, hey, would you really pray into their identity or the times and seasons that they're in, or ask the Lord if there are any promises that they've missed out on. I believe in asking specific questions because the Lord has specific answers. What did Jesus do? Like they would ask him about something, but then he would jump to a question very specific about something else because he was wanting to reveal either what was in their heart or what's in the heart of the Father. And so I find the more specific the question, the more specific the prophetic words are and impactful too. My team is always, I love it when a client gets a new prophetic word. In fact, I was working with someone today and we were going through the prophetic word that she had received. And my team member has no idea about this person. They have no idea where they're from. They know that they're a female because of the first name, right? And literally we're going through this prophetic word and she is like, I couldn't believe it. How did they know this? I just said this to the Lord. And I just said, it was like confirmation and encouragement and all this kind of stuff. I love that moment because what it's doing is affirming that God sees me, he knows me, he loves me so much so that he just shared all this information with someone else as well. And then you get to see their face light up like it's Christmas. It's just the most beautiful thing. I absolutely love what I do.
Amen.
Yeah. So they get a real prophetic word. And I had one lady go, oh yeah, what I had was not a prophetic word. You know, somebody had, you know, it was just anyways, but
it's like reading my mail, right?
It is, but it's not reading your mail in a negative sense. I think prophecy and has had a negative, bent to it for a long time, because it has been reading people's mail, calling things out, calling out sin. And personally, I believe that we don't do that. If I have relationship with someone and the Lord shows me that there's sin in their life, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend some time in prayer, and I'm going to pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would hit them and that they would be motivated to turn from the sin, to repent and make things right before I ever even have to get involved. It's not my business. And if sometimes we think because we discern something, God wanted us to know that. Some of us just have a gift of discernment. So you're seeing things all the time. It doesn't mean you say anything. It doesn't mean you share it. So I always pray first. And then I ask the Lord, if it doesn't lift, I ask the Lord, do you want me to talk to them about this? Is there something? And if I get a yes or a no or hold on, then I just keep praying for them. But when I see them, I don't avoid them. In fact, I lean into them. I pursue them. I just want to love on them. I want them to feel safe. I want them to know that when that they're in a safe place. I think that the family of God should be the safest place to reveal some of the most darkest parts of our life. And it hasn't always been that way for people, especially not in a prophetic culture or community. So we put very clear guidelines around how the prophetic is used. I'm connected with prophetic company with Dan McCollum, Bethany Hicks. So I'm part of their teaching staff with Prophetic Company Global. They're based out of Texas. I'm here in California, but we all used to be in California together. And then
you did.
We want the prophetic to be safe. And then there are prophets that their call, the call on their life really is to bring correction and direction, but how they do that either honors or it dishonors. And so we just put clear boundaries around what honor looks like, and especially with the prophetic. And just because you know some doesn't mean you say it.
Yeah.
So how would you, for someone that doesn't know anything about prophecy and the prophetic, mm-hmm. how would you explain it in its simplest terms to someone that may feel like, ooh, spooky prophecy. Yeah. What is this?
Yeah. Prophecy really is, it's, when God created us, he created us in his likeness and his image, and he created us with receptors, with the ability to hear, see, perceive, sense, feel, taste. We call them senses, but they're also receptors. So there's 12 receptors that we really teach on within Prophetic Company. There's 12 receptors in ways that God communicates to us. Most people have no idea how to engage those receptors. And really what it is your taste, your smell, your feel, whatever. God is always communicating. He's communicating through nature. He's communicating through sound. He's communicating through feelings. He communicates through a child's smile. He is just always communicating. So what I like to tell people very simply is the prophetic and prophecy. I think first, before you go into a place of prophecy, you want to go into a place of just knowing that you can hear your Father, knowing that you can hear the Lord, you can hear Holy Spirit, you can discern that his voice from other voices. We all hear voices. We all hear our thoughts that go through our mind. Oftentimes, our thoughts or God's thoughts will sound like our own. It sounds like our own voice. The word of God says that we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ. Well, does that mean that the thoughts that are Christ are going to have Jesus's voice to it, as opposed to like the sound of a human voice? Really what it is that when you, the more you know the Lord, the more you know the Father, you know what his thoughts will sound like.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to recognize the difference between intrusive thoughts, thoughts that are coming, at you, thoughts that come within you. If I sit down and ask my husband a question, and I'm waiting and I'm listening for his answer, I can hear his voice. When I sit down and I ask the Lord a question, I'm doing the same thing. I'm waiting. I'm listening. When a thought comes, I don't go, oh, that's not God. It doesn't sound like my husband's voice or my voice or this voice or it sounded like my voice. So it's not God. I sit and I go, okay, I asked this question. This thought crossed my mind. Does that thought align with the character and nature of God? Or is that thought condemning? Or is that thought way off base? The word says, take every thought captive. Mm. We always think that means every bad thought. It doesn't say just take every bad thought captive. It says take every thought captive. So as thoughts are going through my mind, especially if I'm leaning into the Lord, like during worship or I'm reading the word or I've asked a question or I'm just sitting and I'm being with him. When thoughts start going through my mind, I'm going to take them captive. I'm going to lean in and be curious about those thoughts and ask, oh, wait, does that sound like something Jesus would say? Does that align with love? Does that align with hope? Does that align with encouragement? Is that conviction? Did that thought ensue conviction, or does it ensue shame? So we are called to judge those things. So I think teaching people how to judge those thoughts and how to take them captive is, I think for me, first and foremost, one of the most important things. And teaching them not to disregard, like so much of the time we just disregard the thoughts that go through our mind, and they're thoughts from the Lord. We've asked him a question and then we get these thoughts and we disregard them because we really don't think he's going to answer, or we think he's only going to answer through the Bible. And so we go to one place to look for the Lord to answer. I've asked the Lord questions before. And as I'm driving down the freeway, a big semi truck comes and literally the banner on the semi truck is the answer from the Lord. Mm-hmm. I've asked the Lord questions and literally I overhear a conversation of somebody else. And all of a sudden it's like their voice is right here next to my ear. And what I hear them say is the answer from the Lord. He is so creative. He's mm-hmm. so creative, but we want to limit him to our understanding. And I don't think we should, you know. Anyways, I don't know if I answered that.
Yeah, you did pretty good, Michelle.
There's so much to answer that question, really. But
I guess what I would do as a follow-up question to that is then, so you're talking about hearing the voice of God, but as it relates to prophetic, mm-hmm. So a word from God may not be a prophetic word from God. What makes something a prophetic word?
That's a great question. So a prophetic word is usually it's something that is forth-telling, or it's telling of something that happened in the past, which would be a word of knowledge about something. It's forth-telling about something that's happening in your current season. So it's information that the giver would not know apart from asking the Lord. So if I'm sitting here and I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me an encouraging word for Jen? You know, what would you want me to share with Jen? Then these thoughts start coming through my mind. So I didn't have those thoughts before I asked that question, right? But if I sat here and just within myself and I'm looking at you, Jen, and I'm like, oh, Jen's a beautiful woman. I can tell that she's intelligent. So she takes pride in how she presents herself. She has a beautiful voice. Like now what I'm doing is I'm actually just looking at you as a woman. I'm not asking the Lord questions. So as soon as you step into that place of asking the Lord a question, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you about someone, that's when it becomes something that is a prophetic utterance, or you're getting information. You're getting information based on, you know, asking the Lord a question. It's such a vast Pandora's box. When we teach our activates, we show in the Word of God where he says his, you know, he pours out his Spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. We talk about where in the Word it talks about prophecy, about God's voice, about, you know, all that. We bring people first and foremost to the Scriptures. And then we do small activations where we're just giving them, you know, maybe a question. Sometimes we're going to ask the Lord this question. So we ask the Lord a question. What do you hear? What do you feel? What do you sense? And it's much more, you know, specific than that during the activations, but just off the top of my head right now,
that's good.
Do you do this in the Good Fight School, Michelle? Because I know you have that coming up August 18th, I believe.
August 18th. Yeah.
And that is virtual. I just want to tell our audience that is virtual. Yes, so
virtual
you can
school.
Find out more information, I guess, on your website, right, Michelle?
Yes. So the Good Fight School is really teaching people how to, if they do have a prophetic word, or maybe they don't have a prophetic word, but they have a chapter in the Bible, or they have scriptures that the Lord has continually given to them that are life verses. This is their go-to. And every time they ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want to encourage me? It's like Psalms, 91 or Isaiah 61:4, or, that these same scriptures come up. So what do you do with that? Do you just read it over and over again? Do you just meditate on it? The Good Fight School actually teaches you how to, what I call mine. It's like we're mining the word of God, So say you have a prophetic word from the Lord. We teach you how to look for certain elements in the word. So identity, who is God saying? Who is he revealing that you are? Who does he reveal himself to you as in this prophetic word? What are his promises? Are there any promises in this word? We look for things like times and seasons. So if you have a promise of God, when is that promise to be fulfilled? And what is your alignment with that promise? What type of promise is it? There's different types of promises: sovereign promise, conditional promises, principled promises. What do you do with those? And how do you know what kind of promise you have, right? How do you create a strategy for your life from this prophetic word? And then there's multiple things that we teach about in the Good Fight School. So I'm just really equipping people to really be curious and to dive deep, not just to, you get something and you're like, oh, this is great. And you meditate on it. You close your eyes and you thank the Lord for it and you move on. And that's not stewardship. The Good Fight School is about stewarding your relationship with God and the Word of God. And so that's what I teach people to do. I think stewardship is a great accelerator. I've worked with clients where they have, things that God's spoken over their lives. And they're like, I got this word 20 years ago, nothing has happened from it. And so I teach them how to steward the word. And within one lady, it was 24 hours.
Wow.
She emailed me and said, you're not going to believe what just happened. Why? Was it the right timing? Or is it that God said, oh, you're actually stewarding my word now. You believe me. Now I can trust you with the more.
Amen.
There's really so much to the Good Fight School, but that's really what it is. And then I'm running a free 3-day challenge coming up August 1st through the 3rd. And it's all about the promises of God. What do you do when you have a promise that hasn't been fulfilled? What do you do when you're like, God gave me a promise that my husband would be healed and he wasn't? What do you do? God gave me a promise that this would my teenager would return and he still hasn't. Do I hold on to that promise? There's a promise of financial breakthrough and yet you're not seeing it. And sometimes we treat conditional promises as though it's an absolute promise. And they're not. There's places that we're supposed to actually align our thinking. We're supposed to take steps and action steps in our life. And we don't because we think, oh, well, he said he would do this. So he's going to do it. And God's saying, I invited you to partner with me in this promise to see its fulfillment. So I'm actually waiting on you.
Mm-hmm. That's
we
a
don't
word.
Know. Yeah.
That's a word for me right now. I will take that. So I know this podcast is actually going to come out right as your challenge had just started. So I did hear, though, that you will be offering recordings at a very small cost that our audience can take advantage of, right? So where can they find that information out? And what will these videos include? Will it include all of the teaching that you just shared with us?
Yes. So the promise challenge is the 3 days is focused solely on obviously processing the promises of God, whether you have a prophetic word or not. I'm going to talk about the word of God. What do we do with the promises in the word of God? What do we have access to through relationship with Christ? But so whenever they hear this,
yes.
The 3-day challenges is on the first, second and third. They can go to my website, which is the Michelle DeHughes. www.michelledeuse.com. And, or you can type in, if you type in on the internet, if you just Google prophetic processing, I will pop up. So my friend Dan McCollum's book will pop up. Some other people pop up, but my website will pop up as well. And so you can just click on that, and the 3-day challenge should be live, like to register for that should be live there. So, and what I can also do is give you a link. And if you want to, you know, send, you can post something with this recording as well.
Yes, we will be linking that in our show notes. And again, I have taken one of Michelle's classes, and the information that she has inside of her beautiful head, and that just the Lord has given her in wisdom over the years, is just mind-blowing. And so you're going to want to buy these recordings, because just hearing it one time is not going to be good enough. There's a lot to chew on and a lot to process. And so I encourage you, the cost is going to be insanely cheap for what it is. So take advantage of this, and it would be a great way to learn more about Michelle and all of her beautiful giftings that the Lord has given her. So please do so, audience. Yes, it's great. I need to go back and look at all my prophetic words that I was given by doing one of your classes. And I know that you can't always put a finger on, you know, when did things start shifting for me? But I know since I've taken your class, I'm definitely at a lot more peace in my identity and who I am, and confident and secure in that. So I definitely think it, for sure, I know it has helped me, and I know it has been part of my loving who God created me to be identity. So thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So Michelle, tell me a little bit about how you first started like experiencing the prophetic as far as your faith walk, and how God really started like opening himself up to you and showing you that this was a call on your life.
Wow, that is a great question, Jen. Okay, Holy Spirit, how far back do we go? I would say, how long is this broadcast?
As long as it needs to be.
Right. Hold on, folks. So I will just tell you, I grew up, my parents were first generation believers, first generation Christians, and they both came from very broken homes. So they got saved kind of in the Jesus movement, and they got saved into kind of the Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my father was in the military, so we moved a lot. But we landed most of the time in Baptist churches. And so I grew up with a fear of God, but a love for Jesus. I mean, like I feared God, and not fear as in awe, but I feared his judgment and everything that I heard. It was like, you're a sinner, this thing, you know, it was scary. But I remember in worship as a little girl feeling the presence of love. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, God gave us an imagination for a reason. Amen. And I remember as a little girl closing my eyes in worship and seeing Jesus and seeing nature and feeling his presence and just feeling safe and secure. And so my earliest memories in my walk with Jesus were very intimate, close. He was my shepherd. I was his little girl, you know. I would have pictures of me holding his hand, you know, just his love and his tenderness. And my home life was actually the opposite of that. So it was later discovered that my dad was bipolar, had rage, major anger management stuff, a lot of rejection. Mm-hmm. And then you bring religion on that. So it was very, it was confusing, because I would experience the love of Jesus, and just this presence of friendship and care. But around the internally, but externally, it was very chaotic and a fearful place. You never knew when you walk in the house. I remember thinking I learned about alcoholism later when a friend of mine's dad was an alcoholic, and she knew you just didn't have anybody over when you walked in the door and you saw a bunch of empty beer bottles, right? Well, I didn't have that. I remember thinking, oh, I wish my dad was an alcoholic so I would know if it was safe to bring someone home or not. Because when you're dealing with someone with a mental illness, you don't know what's going to enrage them. You don't know from minute to minute. One minute he's loving and kind and tender. He really was a good dad. I mean, he was severely abused growing. I mean, just to hear his story, it's horrific to hear his story. And that he got saved and anyways. But you just didn't know. It was hot and cold. So what brought me security was my relationship with the Lord, was my relationship with Jesus. So at an early age, I would say I was hearing God's voice. I could see things. I could experience things. I would know things about people. Like I would just know if someone was a bad person in my mind. As a little girl, I was like, oh, I need to go. This person's not safe. Or I would get this, I would have thoughts that would just kind of hit me. I would see images of things that I know I had never seen. And so there was these external experiences and then this internal peace, but then also an internal war at times growing up. And then I remember the first time I saw my first demon. I know the people listening are like, what? it's in the Bible, folks.
Real life.
It is real life. But we actually lived in Frankfurt, Germany. We lived in Hitler's old hospital quarters. And our house was huge. You could fit, my dad measured this, you could fit 18 queen size beds side by side down our hallway, So my bedroom was huge. I had no idea who Hitler was. I didn't learn this until much later in life. I had no idea. You know, I was like kindergarten, first grade at this point. So early on in my life. And I remember it was the first time I felt real fear outside of being yelled at from my dad or watching my mom and dad argue or something like that. And it was a spirit of fear. And I could hear hissing. I could hear voices. I could feel things around me. It was tormenting and I couldn't move. I was just frozen. And all I could do, I remember telling my mom like that there was bad men in my room, that there were bad things. And bless her heart, you know, they didn't know about any of this stuff. And she said, well, just say the name of Jesus, you know, just say the name of Jesus. It has to go. And she was right. It has to leave. But I remember as a little girl, just saying the name of Jesus, 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 over and over and over again. And it didn't always work. It didn't always work. And that really caused me to question what is the power, like, where's the power in the name of Jesus? If it doesn't, like, whatever those things are, I still feel it. But then there were times where it would work, you know, so I have no idea why it worked sometimes and didn't work sometimes. And even, you know, I'm telling you this as a 50-year-old and I was, you know, 5, 6 years old. So that's even my recollection of what happened at 5 and 6 years old, you know, which can be off. But I do remember seeing Jesus at one point standing in my room and it was like when I saw him standing there, his presence there, the evil presence just left. It was like, it was gone. And I felt peace just fill my room. Ooh. So I knew that it was real. I knew God was real. I knew his presence was real. And so those would be my earliest stages of like interacting with the Lord and hearing and seeing and perceiving. And then I would say, as I grew up, I later found out that my grandmother thought she was a psychic. She worked at a bar and she was like, she'd just know things about people. She would just like, I would walk in and she would know he just murdered somebody. And she'd be like, you need to leave my bar. Like she just knew, she told me, cause I was talking to her about something that Jesus had told me about her. And she was like, oh honey, you have the gift too. She said, "We're psychic." And I was like, "No, Grandma, I'm not psychic." You know, I'm not psychic. I said, "But I have access to the mind of Christ because I'm spirit-filled, born-again believer. Jesus lives in me. And these are his thoughts for you, you know?" And she was like, "Well, I just always knew things about people. I knew, you know, just good things, bad things, things they wanted to do. And I would tell them, hey, that thing you're thinking about, don't do it. It's not going to work out for you." You know, as she's serving them their drink or whatever. I love my grandma. She's in heaven with Jesus now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Anyway, so I would say that my whole life was just kind of marked with having access, just believing I could hear the Lord and see the Lord. And, but there was also torment in that as well, because just as I could see beautiful things, I would see demonic things as well, and not see it like with my natural eye, like, oh, I see this fuzzy pencil or whatever. But when I would close my eyes, sometimes I would just see images or things that I didn't want to see. So then I would just pray, God, you know, help my vision. Something's wrong with my vision. I don't want to see this kind of thing. And then the Lord began to teach me the authority that I have as a believer and where those things were coming from. So I've honestly been on a very long journey for many, 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 many years of success and failure, you know, and just being afraid and then realizing that I'm actually meant to conquer fear. And that's why fear keeps trying to come after me. I have authority over fear. And so that's why, as a little girl, fear tried to dominate me and show me that it's bigger than me. And the truth is, it's not. There is no spirit greater than the Spirit of God that lives and dwells in me. Therefore, there is no spirit bigger than me. Do you know what I mean? Like, bigger than what I have access to in a moment.
Amen.
Learn that real time. And I don't think as believers, we actually know. If we could see, you know, Paul says that we are not to see each other in the flesh, but we are to look to see each other according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if we actually did that, we first of all, we wouldn't treat people the way we do.
Amen.
In the church, outside of the church, we would not treat people the way we did if we actually saw them according to the Spirit of God, according to the Spirit. But I know is when the Lord healed my heart of a lot of brokenness, he began to heal me through showing me who I was originally designed to be. And he showed me who I was in the Spirit. And when I saw how beautiful I am, I saw how intricately woven together I am, how connected I am with the Lord and all that God has created, that I am in him, he is in me, and we are one. And that in my relationship with Jesus, I know the Father, I'm in the Father, he is in it. Like, that is what radically changed my life in my mid-20s, because I had walked away from the Lord. You know, there was a lot of bad things that happened in my life. And I finally went, you know what? I'm going to say it. I was like, screw you, God, you're not showing up. This stuff isn't real. I was just a kid. I just believed like a fairy tale. And if you were real, this wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened. You know, none of this stuff would have happened if you really loved me. And if you were real, you would have showed up in my life and this wouldn't have happened, you know? And I was trying to convince God I didn't believe in him, but yet I would talk to him all the time.
Right. Like, prove it.
Right.
Like, in my darkest of hour, who am I talking to? Jesus. Anyways, sorry, I'm kind of, you know, going off topic a little bit, but that's why I said, okay, Holy Spirit, how far back do we go? Because that's just been the case. And even when I wasn't walking, quote unquote, as a good Christian, and I was, you know, involved in things I shouldn't have been in, I was destroying myself because I was in so much pain. Mm-hmm. I could still hear the voice of God. I could still feel his love and his presence. And I think that people don't realize how much he's speaking to them, how present he really is in our lives. Mm-hmm. There is no separation between us. There really is no separation. Whether we understand it and acknowledge it or not, it isn't based on our understanding. It's based on his character, his nature, and his truth. And the word of God is clear that there is no separation between us, that nothing can separate us. And so Right. I think in any given moment, you know, you're in the, I've been in the midst of the most darkest of times, and there was only one I could turn to. And it was the one I didn't want to turn to, but I knew it was truly the only one faithful in my life. And I turned to him and I begged. I remember just begging God to take my life. And I was trying to manipulate him. Get this. Have you guys ever tried to manipulate God?
Oh, my word. More times than I can count.
Like, not me.
Are you feeling? Like,
yeah, no, I'm kidding.
I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, and I'm a teenager. I'm like, if you really love me.
Oh yeah.
If you really love me, you would take me from this pain, because your word says that you know me intimately, that I am intimately known by you, that there's no place that I can go where you aren't there, that there's, that you've searched me and know me. Like David, God, I know that you've searched me and you know me. So you therefore know the pain and the misery and the suffering that I am in right now, that I have no reason to live. I have no desire to live. I have no purpose. I feel so much pain and anguish. I'm almost numb, but the numbness is so painful. Like, it was just this, this mix between every day feeling suicidal and having to put a smile on my face so nobody would know. You know, every day showing up at things that I could care freaking less about, you know, but this is what we do. This is what you do as a Christian. This is what you do as this person. This is what you do. And I was tired of it. And I was exhausted. I was absolutely exhausted. And I was just a teenager, y'all. I was just a teenager. I can't even imagine what our teenagers feel today. I have three teenagers, so I can't imagine. We're walking through stuff in our family. But I remember begging, if you love me, I know that you feel the pain. Jesus, that's why you went to the cross. You feel this pain. You know what I'm actually going through. How could you want me to stay here? How could you want me, if you're good and loving, just take me to heaven? Yeah. And I was told that if you committed suicide, that you would go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. Though at that point I was ready. Just get me out of here. If hell is the only other place I can go, fine. Just get me out of here. And I remember exhausted, begging him to take my life. Just let me fall asleep. Just strike the house with lightning. Just cause my heart to stop. Whatever, you know. I didn't want to commit suicide because I didn't want to get killed. Anyways, I'm praying all these things. And then I was exhausted. I was from crying and screaming and all of this. I was absolutely emotionally exhausted and spent. And I finally just rested and I stopped crying and I stopped asking and I stopped talking. And this thought went through my mind, or I could just ask him to love me in this moment. Because I felt no love. I felt nothing. I felt abandoned. I felt worthless. I was confused. And this thought was, or you could ask him to love you in this moment. And so I was like, okay, well, then God, if you're not going to kill me, you're not going to take me to heaven and really love me. could I just feel your love right now? Could I just feel something that's from you? And I remember feeling this hand, like a father's hand, come on my backside. And I felt this warmth and this, I just felt something I'd never felt before. To that degree. And I just started to bawl. I just started to cry. I just started to weep. And as I was crying in the presence of his love, it was like all these toxic thoughts and feelings were just coming out of me. And I fell asleep in the midst of that. And it was probably one of the most sound night sleeps I had ever had in my life. There was no fear, no worry. And I felt love. I felt unconditional, pure love. And I would love to say that the next morning I woke up and rededicated my life to Christ and stopped this and stopped doing that and just became a good little Christian girl, but that wasn't the case. There was a lot of brokenness still inside of me. But from that day on, he was not the last one I went to. He was the first.
It started a process, it sounds like.
It started a process in my life. Absolutely. And so I would say the whole prophetic thing really came alive in my 30s. am I actually, when I turned 30, I went to a ministry school in Toronto, and I had already been, I would pray for people and just know things, you know. I rededicated my life back to the Lord in my 20s when I got pregnant with my son. And he was the reason why I gave my life back to the Lord. He was the reason why I was alive. Was because when I found out I was pregnant with him at 20 years old, I could no longer say everything. I was so destructive, because I would literally tell myself, these decisions I'm making, they're only going to hurt me. They're not going to hurt anybody else. My family doesn't care, you know? And it wasn't a woe is me. It was literally my permission to destroy myself. And so when I found out that I was pregnant, in that moment, I was sitting at Planned Parenthood. This is super vulnerable. You may cut all this out. Who knows?
No.
But I was sitting at Planned Parenthood, and the lady comes in and tells me that it's positive. And in that moment, I cannot even tell you the rush of elation, because I now had a reason to live. I now had a reason to make wise choices. I now had a reason to choose better for myself, because it was like every decision I make from here on out will affect another life and is going to matter. And so that for me was a turning point. I gave my life back to the Lord. I started going to church regularly. I mean, it was like turning point. I quit smoking. I quit drinking, everything, because now I had a reason. I had somebody to live for. And so back to in my 30s. So by then, I think it was when I turned 30, I went to a school of ministry in Toronto for a month. And I was already in leadership at my church. I was already, you know, leading ministries and doing things. But it was there that they really called out the prophet. They called out the prophetic. And I received a prophetic word that the Lord told me had. It was one of those kind of legacy words over my life. And it was this prophetic word that he taught me about prophetic processing, that he taught me how to look for identity and times and seasons and promises and those type of things, to really align
wow.
my life with his word and his plans and his purposes. You know, it's Jeremiah 29:11, right? It was like that prophetic word was his plan, his purpose, his hope. And so he taught me what to do in my life, what to say yes to, what to pursue, what to learn. And it was a lot of it was what I'm walking in now. But back then I had no idea. It was 2003. I didn't know any of this. I had no idea what I would be doing, but literally the prophetic word called out all of this, all the things that I'm walking in now. And it blows my mind. You know, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, is when you say you went to Toronto, was that around the whole Toronto blessing and the airport vineyard?
Yeah, it was after. So this is when they established, they had a school of ministry, and then they had a leader school of ministry. And the leader school was 4 weeks. And it really taught you how to teach a lot of their healing, life's hurts, their deliverance, their prophetic ministry, how to just have healthy people in your community. And I was already kind of teaching classes on my own. But that was kind of a launching place for me. Or a solidifying, you know, what I've been doing in my life.
Yes.
So there, and then in 2015, I was actually ready to just give up on the prophetic. I was like, I'm so done with this. Because I had a very accurate gift, and I would pray or prophesy, or the pastor would call me up to give prophetic words, or I'd minister or whatever. And then my friends and other leaders would make comments. That really would, it was really rooted in jealousy. And they later, years later, said, I'm so sorry I said that. I was just jealous. You know, it was very clear you had a call on your life, and but it was really ugly. And it caused me to want to shrink back and not, it was like, don't ask me to prophesy. Don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to teach, because it ends up costing me my relationships with the women in the church. And that was really hard.
That I just want to jump in real quick, Michelle, there, because that was actually, I felt like so heavy on my heart today about you. I remember first coming into the church myself and just like not seeing anyone that looks like me, like big personality, you know, like really just a strong, courageous gal. And that was one of the first things when I saw you that made me just gravitate to you. And I just fell in love with you because I was like, I see myself there. And so I just want to bless you as that beautiful, strong woman and all of the things you had to overcome in that, I'm sure, in the church, because I know I've had my struggle. And I'm just so thankful you kept going in your gifting and your blessing, and that I got to cross paths with you. And now our audience gets to hear all about you, because it's so amazing and it's so beautiful. And like, we could literally go on in this podcast and everyone would have like all of Michelle's wisdom. It's mind blowing. I didn't know half of this stuff about you that I learned today. And thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable, because I know so many out there who had similar experiences and probably thought they were losing their mind a bit, you know. And thank you for sharing and saying that these are real things, folks. Like, the Bible is real, and Amen. There's some scary things that happen, and you're not crazy and you're not alone, and God's going to use all of those things. So just hold on tight and ask for his love like Michelle did, and he shows up. That was so good. That was really good. Thanks, Michelle.
I know we were kind of all over the place. That was a windy road on a tree-lined path. There it is. It was just kind of a windy.
But, you know, I really feel like someone needed to hear your story, though. I mean, they needed to know that sometimes it doesn't. It's not as clear and cut, and you know, you can put God in this neat little box, and how he redeems parts of your life and moves you from point A to point B. But he is a good father. He does get us to the place that he allows us to thrive and grow and be the person that he has created us to be. So that was good.
It's a beautiful journey that takes time.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't know how to rest in the midst of the wrestling with time, the wrestling with ourselves, with God. But if we give it the time that he's allotted for it, he redeems us and he changes our name and we become the reflection of him that we were always meant to be, and his glory carriers, and his, you know, it's like we carry his name in a way that we couldn't otherwise. And so I just want to encourage you guys to really allow the time that God has allotted for you to really rest in the wrestle with your identity, with your life, with your calling. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. And he can handle the wrestling. He can not only can he handle it, he loves it, because we're close. There's a closeness that's happening, even in the midst, especially in the midst of the struggle. It's the most beautiful places in my life was the greatest struggle. So be patient.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
That's good. Well, folks, I think we're going to wrap it up there. This has been too good. I don't really want it to end, but you know, it has to at some point.
Michelle has like things to do too.
I know you can
never back, Jen.
Yeah, I would love to come back. Absolutely.
What was you getting ready to say? We could hear what?
I was just going to say, you can hear in the next room all the commotion of what's taking place with the conference that's getting ready to start there. So sorry.
You know, that's okay. Before we wrap up, honestly, at some points when you were talking, I could almost hear like music in the other room. And I was like, God, is this, am I hearing spiritual stuff?
Or is that,
you know, because you would talk and I could just hear notes. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's just, you know, God moving or somebody in the other room. So I'm glad to know.
Yeah, God's playing the piano. He's got angels playing the piano for ministry time in the background.
Yeah.
Literally couldn't tell what it was. I could just hear certain tones. And I was like, ooh, Lord. This
Yeah,
one
we're not putting God in a box. I mean, I would, if I knew how to play a piano, I would do it while Michelle was speaking.
Like,
you know?
Love it.
That's
I
so
love
good.
it. This
has I
been
love
fun.
it.
Thank you guys so much for inviting me here. It's
Oh,
been a
thank you
blessing.
for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'll come anytime.
All right. I'm going to totally take you up on that.
Absolutely.
Get you scheduled. All right. All right, friends. Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.